Seven. I've actually shared your first story, Barbara Friedman. I've shared your first story because that's a whole lot of rain that fell in Dubai.
Yeah, so Dubai floods, hashtag Dubai floods, is trending on social media. This after these heavy rains hit the United Arab Emirates, flooding all these highways, flooding the Dubai International Airport. The videos of the airport and that tarmac and these massive planes looking like boats, it's quite remarkable. And, of course, this is a country that we know is a desert. It's dry. It doesn't have a lot of rain. And the most rainfall in the past 75 years, which does mean that 75 years ago they did have a lot of rain. It's not like it's never happened before. But the rains, which began on Monday night and by Tuesday evening, were something like 142 millimeters in this city, which, you know, is a desert city. The normal average amount it gets in a year and a half. So that amount that it got in one night is how much it usually gets in a year and a half. And it's just remarkable. Remarkable to see. And
But there were photos coming out of Dubai a couple of months ago as well.
Of rain.
Of significant rainfall and flooding. So for a desert area now,
it's getting a lot of rain, and it is fascinating to see. Will this, you know, what is this going to do to the area, to the geography of it? I mean, I did think to myself when I saw 75 years, it made me go down a rabbit hole because, you know, that's how my brain works. You know, what did Dubai look like 75 years ago? And, you know, obviously 1966.
Well, it was just desert. No, it's desert with buildings.
It was a fishing village, really. Yeah. And they would pearl dive and fishing. And
then they found oil.
1966, they found oil. Yeah. And within 10 years, it had become the on its way to what it is today. And obviously, just a remarkable when you look at photos of it prior to 1966.
But let's say you go back maybe 12,500 years.
Yeah.
That whole Sahara was a very fertile space. Lots of trees, lots of rivers where the Sahara Desert exists
today. That is because things do change.
Climate change.
It's not, but also things do change.
UAE are doing a lot of cloud seeding.
Okay, so that is in some of the articles. I decided I wasn't going to bring it up because it's, I'm not convinced that cloud seeding has caused this particular flash flood. But I know that is what people are trying to join those dots. Mm. I remember during Day Zero in Cape Town, we had quite a lot of experts on air talking about whether cloud seeding was an option. The general feeling is it's not so great. Mm. It's not that successful. But yes, there have been cloud seeding there since I think about the late 1990s into the 2000s. They started doing it. Maybe people who know more than I do can share with us, with you. Whether they think that was a possibility, I haven't completely seen evidence in my readings here that it likely was the cause, but I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that they have been doing it. But I think they've been doing it for a very long time. So why would suddenly this, on this day, it suddenly happened?
Yeah, I think the trends are there. They're very real.
Mm. Things happening.
Things are happening. Let's go to social media. I'm not letting things go. Where is Elvis's body?
Where is Elvis? I wish I was doing that story. So, I mean, this is a very social media-driven story, everyone. This is not coming from, you know, great journalism. It's one of those things that has gripped social media for the last few weeks, and they're not letting go of it. So I've decided to talk about it because people keep mentioning it around me. Where is Marcus Eustace's body? And sorry, I don't mean any, you know, sometimes people don't like us talking about people who've died. But, you know, this man is probably the biggest, one of the biggest criminals the world, allegedly, that the world has ever known, and he is dead. And so it's almost in the public interest, don't you think, to know that he is dead? Because there's so much information that has gone to his grave with him. These cases have never even begun in court, you know, of the Steinhoff fraud and scams. So the thing on social media is, it is a little bit kind of entertaining. A lot of people saying, you know, where was the after tears party? You know, my social circle's not big enough. I don't know where Marcus Eustace is and where's his body. The police at the time made it clear to journalists who were asking that they had opened an inquest docket at the time, but that requests for information about his body should be steered, directed to the health department. Actually, they said to the health department. But again, if there's no crime committed, obviously if there's other crime that was committed, but if there's no crime committed around his death, then it isn't actually a police matter, is it?
I don't think a photograph of a corpse is going to necessarily settle.
I'm not suggesting that either, but I suppose maybe some kind of information. I don't know. I was saying for weeks, I don't care where Marcus Huster's body is, or where his burial is, or where anything is. But of course, this narrative that he's probably drinking cocktails on an island with Brett Kebble, with Gavin Watson, you know, the Basasa person, etc. You know, there's this idea that these very wealthy people
have ways and means.
So, you know, you can probably hate me for speaking about it. But
I hear you. But today, in 2024, there are probably more flat earthers alive than before it was discovered the earth was round. But
we have seen some people can't be convinced. Earth is round. Oh, but that's probably a conspiracy too. They're not really up in those spaces.
Yeah, no, it's AI generated. Okay, let's go to the UK.
You know, I decided to talk about this because it hit home so strongly with South Africans during lockdown, and that is the issue around smoking. So Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, has managed to go one step further towards his desire to ban smoking in the UK. And so in Parliament, the laws which he is pushing for, that anyone aged 15 and under will never ever be able to buy a cigarette. So if you are born after a certain year and these laws get passed, you will never legally, I might add, be able to buy a cigarette. But the problem with it is surely what we saw in South Africa during lockdown is that you're never going to stop people from finding their cigarettes, right? I'm not saying it won't make some people less likely to smoke. It probably does affect the statistics. But I always think, you know, a lot of people complaining within his own party, you know, and saying nanny state. I mean, Australia, or is it New Zealand? New Zealand tried to do it.
It's exactly the same
law. They've turned around that law, though. They've unraveled it because it wasn't working, as I understand it. I don't think it's still in place.
I must check on that. I thought it was an innovative.
But, you know, anyone turning 15 or younger to be banned from buying cigarettes, I don't know. I mean, is that something that you should legislate on? I hate smoking. Let me just be clear on this. I don't smoke. I hate smoking. I always want to, you know, when I walk in the street and people are smoking on the pavement, I sort of wave my hands around like one of those awful people.
Yeah.
And sort of like, you know, give them a dirty look. So I'm not a fan. But I just think over legislating things sometimes gives them more, people are more desirous of actually trying.
The prohibition kind of
prohibition vibes, correct.
I like the law, though. I like that law.
Yeah. I mean, I do too in my heart and soul, but I always think, like, is it going to work? Because also, we don't want to encourage illegal cigarette trade. Because that's what we saw happened here, and it's got a foot in here that I think bigger than it ever had before.
Absolutely.
Where people realized, I can always buy cheaper cigarettes. I don't know. I don't know what people out there think.
Bob's Wire, Mondays to Thursdays, just after 9:30, right here on Views and News.